All right. So one of the things I've been teaching my people is about the Holy Spirit. So I'll just start from there, and I just titled it the process of God, the way of God, really. And I made them understand the fact that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, and that the fact that He wants to lead us into all realities. Okay. So the Holy Spirit plays a very vital role in our lives, and I'm sure most of us already feel the Holy Spirit. It is the desire of God. Okay. The Holy Spirit. His ministry cannot be seen or evident in your life without a fellowship, without a walk with Him, a fellowship. He's got so much to do. He wants to lead us into all truth. He wants to lead us into all realities. You know, and in the process of teaching, you know, the Lord actually made me understand that the Holy Spirit is our agent. You know, use that word, is our agent. And I really never saw that before, but it's our agent. You know, likened to a job agent or a house agent and all that. You know, the Bible says He takes of what is God's and He shows it unto us. You understand? That's very powerful. So the Holy Spirit is our agent. Okay? Okay, now we are in Isaiah chapter 55. It says, "Ho." I believe you are all there. If you are there, say amen. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." So as you begin to walk with God, one very important thing is that there must be a desire. Okay, there must be a desire in your heart. It's not so much about having a perfection. No one is perfect. But it's about having a desire. You desire God. You desire His will to be seen in your life. You desire something. You desire greatness. You desire to attain, you know, a certain height in your life, a certain level in your life, and all of that. God wants you to come with that desire to Him. Okay? He wants you to come with that desire to Him. That's number one. Okay? It's not about perfection. So in case you are here and you're thinking, I'm trying to get it right with God, I want to just, you know, be holy, I want to be perfect and all that. No. It starts with a desire. What do you desire in your heart? Do you love God? Do you desire to walk with God? That's the first step. Do you desire to be great? That's the first step. So the Bible now says that number one is that He says, "Who? Everyone that thirsteth." So that thirst must be there. That hunger must be there. Okay? So He directs, okay, everyone who is thirsty or everyone who is hungry to the waters. Of course, we know that, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ being that, you know, water, that rock, you know, that was struck and the water came out and all of that. So He's the water. He spoke with the Samaritan woman. I say, He says, "The water that I will give to you." Okay? If you have that water, it will be like a well springing up unto eternal life. Okay, so He says, "Come to the waters." He said, "He that hath no money." So you may say, "I don't have money in my life. I don't have stuff and all that." He said, "That is not the idea." You know, a lot of people think that money is everything. You know, you can, Bible says money answered all things. You see that kind of thing. So you need money, with money I can. So just because I don't have money, so I am limited. Money is not the first thing. If it were the first thing, you would have said, "Come with money." But He didn't say come with money. He says come, you are thirsty, so to come. So thirst is the number one criteria in the process of God. Just come to God with your thirst. Come with your desire. Come, you are hungry, you are thirsty, come like that. He says come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. So number one is your hunger. So remember the story, you know, about Simon the sorcerer that wanted to buy the Holy Spirit with money. You see that now. So you say, and immediately Peter just put him there and said, "See, this thing is not money. In fact, away with you, because your heart is not right." So already, if you are thinking that the fact that you are not where you are today, like where you want to be rather, and that's where you are, is because you don't have money. You are already wrong. You are already wrong. It's not money that you need. It is a desire, because God has the capacity to meet that need and exceed it. So it's not about money. It's about whether you even want it in the first place. See, this thing is very simple, but I'm telling the truth. There are people, many people, that don't even have a desire for greatness. It is the truth. They just want to be just complacent. They want to be there, mediocre. They are not even aspiring to, you know, I want this word make an impact. You know, But you see that, yeah, for lack of a better way, well, make an impact. You know, want to do something great. You see it now. They just want to just be there. So it's not money. It is the fact that you are, that the test is not the desire to be where, you know, that greatness is not there. So verse 2 now says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? He says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. So you see it now, that the second thing now is that he says, hearken diligently. That's where a lot of people now miss it. You see it now. Because now, you desire something, you want to be great and all of that, but you are not listening. You are not listening for instructions. You are not listening for, you know, correction. You are not listening for reproof. You think you are capable by yourself. So you are not ready to submit yourself to required authority to get to your next level. You see it now. So because you are not listening, that becomes the next barrier that hinders you. I'm sure you'll be looking at yourself and say, these are areas where I've missed it now. You're not listening. You're not listening to instruction. You are constantly, you know, pushing it aside. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can correct you. Nobody can instruct. Nobody can guide you and say, come. Come and see this thing here. So as far as you, you know, absorb yourself from correction, as far as you absorb yourself from instruction, you see it now. Bible says, He says, give me understanding and I will live. So you are looking for, you are seeking for that understanding. You are seeking for that instruction in your life that will lead you to your next level. You see, so you are hungry is number one, but that's not enough. It's the fact that you must be also looking, because that is it. That's it. And several times, you know, you know, your pastor, you know, is here and he's speaking to you and all of that. Some things don't even come from the pulpit. It's just by just that willingness to say, I want to get something. And then pastor will just drop something at the side. There are many things that you will never get on the pulpit here. If you don't have a willing heart, you don't have a loyal heart, submissive heart to be there, you know, to be there. And then the Holy Ghost will just drop it in the heart of your pastor, of your CG leader, to share this thing. And then this thing just helps you. It just becomes that missing link. Oh, you're not regular in services. Just come in, you know, whenever you like and all of that. And then the very day when the instruction for the next level is coming, you're not around. Because you're not even hungry. You're not yearning for it. You think you are sufficient in yourself. You see it now. So number one, you must be thirsty. It's not money. It's not that it's just that I don't have money. That's why I'm not in that dream job. No. It's about thirst. Okay? And then number two is that you have a heart that is willing to listen. It's very important. The corrections. The Bible says reproof or correction are the way of life. Hallelujah. Alright, so verse 3 now says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So, he says that, incline your ears, come unto me. Okay? So your desire must be channeled towards God, because God is the only person. He has his El Shaddai. You see, now he's strong and blessed. He can meet and exceed your expectations. So come to God. And when you come to God, come with your heart to listen to him. A lot of people come and you say they want to be something, you know, I want to be something, you know, God has called me, you know, to be, you know, to serve, you know, have a great ministry and all that. And then when you are coming, you are just talking and talking and talking, and you're not listening. And you say you want a mentor. You say you want your father. And you're not even listening. It can't work. Because if you are talking, then what do you want the pastor to say? What do you want the mentor to impact? Because you know everything. Okay, so if you know everything, carry on with your present knowledge and see how far that will take you. So that willingness to listen more. Okay, and then the Lord says that you will make an everlasting covenant. So just like what our man of God just said right now, it's not about impact. What God wants to do in your life, I'm talking about the process of God now, where God is taking you to, it's legacy. It's an everlasting something. It's an everlasting something. It's not about
just something here. It's not here and now. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Where God wants to take. See, you may be telling yourself that, but it's just I'm just selling, I'm just doing POS. That, you know, how can POS take me? You know, I am telling you the truth. In the scheme of things of God, when He's seeing your life, He's seeing everlasting. He's seeing forever and ever. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not seeing just here and now. When David was called to, you know, to be king of it, where was he? He was by the background. Nobody even knew. In fact, Samuel had finished run for everybody. He wasn't even among the people that were called. You understand what I'm saying? When it is time, God will find you out from where you are. Because your heart, you see it now. He was a heart man. He was a heart man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever is POS you are doing, God will bring you out. You know the scripture, Psalm 40. It says that I cried unto the Lord and He heard my voice. He will bring you. It doesn't matter how deep that pit is. It doesn't matter how deep that situation is. He will bring you out. He will elevate you. Do you understand what I'm saying? God can do it. God wants to do it. He's willing. And He has the ability to. It's not too hard for God. So He says what He's doing is an everlasting. He's calling you to an everlasting covenant. Do you understand this now? He's calling into an everlasting covenant. What He wants to do is not here and now. It's forever. Hallelujah. So yesterday, a man of God was telling us, you know, in the house about he was reading somebody that died. I mean, someone is dead and gone, but the legacy is still it's still palpable. But the guy is dead and gone already. That's the plan of God. You say, hey, but God, I can't. But we're men in church, you know, so I can't be so many like that. See, don't worry. That one is God's business. It's not about you. It's about what God wants to do. He will take you from where you are. He will lift you up. But the first step is this: here, desire, listen. Okay. And now I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to bring it somewhere in. So I'm going to skip some. So about chapter 4, chapter 5. He says, for example, verse 5, he says, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, because He has glorified thee. So you see that God is glorifying. He wants to glorify you. Hallelujah. So verse 6 now comes again. He says, now come, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him. So understand, I was going through this, I was like, wow, this is a powerful flow. I will end somewhere. You see how this thing is all put together, because it's really interesting. So he says, seek the Lord. So imagine you're a believer, a young believer, just coming to God and say, God, this is where I am right now. I'm not where I should be and all that. God is saying, come. Just come with your desire. And then start listening. They say, seek the Lord. Start coming to church. Start hearing my voice. You see, start fasting, start praying, start seeking the Lord. A lot of people are still, you know, still there and there. You're just being comfortable with your, you know, just complacent Christianity. Just want to be there. You don't want to put yourself in. You know, just one leg in, one leg out. Just, you know, come to church. But whenever they advise, announce fasting and prayer, you're not ready for fasting and prayer. You see it now. Tarry 1 hour, you're not there. Fasting, you're not doing. And yeah, you want to be great. But you don't see that the instructions in the house of God are meant for your rising. But you're wondering, how was the connection? How would that get me to where I want to get to? You see, you're not listening. You're not seeking the Lord. You're not following the process. Christianity is not on your terms. It's on God's terms. And your father here, your man of God here, right, gives you the instruction in due time. Do you understand that? So when you follow through, then you are walking in line. And then the process is continuing. So seek the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He's near. He says, where the wicked forsake his way. You see it now, because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end is destruction. So He says, forsake that way. I have my ways. Amen? Amen. So you're going to walk with God. Understand that God has a process. God has a way. Just like the Bible talks about in the book, in the New Testament, it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So I like the way when the Bible says He knows how. So when you find yourself in a fix and you're like, how will he knows how he will do it. He knows how to. So God knows how to lift you up. You see it now. So forsake what you have known before. That the what you know cannot take you to where God is taking you. The process is not the same. It has to be the way of God. It's a long time a man of God said before that you can't do church the way you are doing it and you think that you are getting it right. It's not on your terms. So, you understand this? So you are wondering that why are people doing church? Why are they choking themselves? That you see, you can't be. You know, I was joking some. You know, I think some days ago, we saw somebody that said he's a. You know, went to preach to this person. He said he's already born again, and all that. It's okay, fine. We're inviting you. In my already laughed. We're inviting you for service on Sunday. So on Saturday, we went to do follow up. Oh boy, you know those things that really happened in Yogbe that year, where men were taking up, where we're going. That's exactly what happened. We came around. The guy saw us. He saw us and all that, but you know, I didn't see him, so I went to ask somebody and all that, that I'm looking for, you know, a savior and all that. Before I came out, yeah, gone. And then I happened to check his WhatsApp, and it's all, you know, those Yahoo guys now, you know what they do and all that. So, and he says he's a believer. And I say, I'm a believer. They call this guy, say he's a believer. What are we doing here? How can you be a believer? And I say, I believe. I say, which God are you? I believe Almighty God. Are you believing Almighty God? Is it the same God we're believing in? Your Jesus is not the same one. Jesus. It's not the same Jesus. Do you understand that? So people are serving under Jesus. It's not the same Jesus we are serving. It cannot be. Do you understand? Because me, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm giving, I'm doing, I'm sacrificing for God. And then you are doing your own, anyhow, you are doing Yahoo. And you say it's Jesus. It's not the same. So people are doing church wrongly. They cannot get the same results. So you that decide to say, I'm going to come for Wednesday, I'm going to fast and all that, you are doing it right. You see it now. So it's about getting, just like a man of God said before, that this Christian thing is about, it's a soup. You put all the components together. You put everything together. Everything works. Why are we teaching on fasting this year? Why are we teaching about speaking? Why are we teaching about faith? You have to keep going around the same thing over again. Because the truth has to be, you know, recycled, and you know, you have to remember these things. Paul said that to remind you of these things is not grievous for me. It's you, it's safe. You put these things together, mix it up, remember this one. Last year, Pastor thought about this thing before. Why is this once again? It's important. You are seeking the Lord, you are looking for Him. So the Bible says, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his ways. Verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So he's trying to tell you something here. That how, because he said from the beginning that he said, you are thirsty. That's where you are right now in your life. You are, I mean, imagine you have tried all your best to, you know, make it in life and all that. It's not working well. God says, come as you are. That's what we tell them in church, right? Come around. Come around the church. Hey, I don't have offering money. Come as you are. You see it now. You see that kind of thing. I thought it's not money they're looking for. People think that money, I must have offering. That's not the idea. Come as you are. So you that go for outreach and all that, when you're telling people come as you understand why. You see it now. It's not money. It's not money that they need. Do you understand that? A man of God one time was giving buttons as offering. Some people give shoe as offering. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's the heart that matters. So my thoughts are not your thoughts. So God is trying to establish something here, that where I want to take you to now, it is by thoughts and it's by ways. Their thoughts, their ways. That's why you will always notice when a man of God ministers, when he shares with us, both on, you know, on the pulpit and in the platforms and all that, personally and all that, it's the heart. It's the heart. It is the process. Do you understand what's going on now? You see why? Because it's on the inside. God wants to change your thoughts. He wants to change your processes. So he says, no, correct this one. It's not the right hand, and all that. He's trying to the process, because you don't need to have made the action before. You see the path already. You see the line of thinking. Say, no. Change this. If your thoughts can change, your life will change. You know the scripture, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's the thoughts. So the change that God wants to do in your life. What a man of God said before. He said God makes the man. It's you who will produce the miracles, but it's you. Where God is after is the heart. He wants to change you on the inside. That's the reason for the services. That's the reason for the fast. Why do we fast? To change God. Changing God. I'm not moving the hand of God. It's you. You're the one breaking. You're the one changing. You understand this now. So it's the things must break. All those negativity has been your limiting factor. Thank God for a pastor. You don't understand. I was showing Mama some days ago. I said, see, you will make mistakes in your life. See, I know what I'm saying. Your mistakes, when pastor will come at, you know, when I first met pastor, no. Oh boy. You know, when I come from somewhere that, you know, you're like man of God, you know, and you come there and it's almost like, sit down. You don't know nothing. You don't know anything. And you're like, are you serious? I don't know. And I was broken. And that's the way it should be. Because your process cannot take you to the next level. You have to abandon it. You understand that now? So your thoughts are not, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So not only are the thoughts of God different from your thoughts, the thoughts of God are also higher. It's not just about this one is your own, this one is my own. No. It's all superior. You see it now. You see it now. So, a lot of people do that. You say, okay, Pastor, I know that do your own. But my own, I want to do my own. No. There's higher light. There's higher light. So, go for the higher light. I remember when Pastor thought it's there to go out, he went there. When you see higher light, just enter. Because you see the processes. And that's what a man of God will always say. That you see my life. If I was somewhere, you understand. But you see where I'm coming from. You see I am now. You see that there's progress here. So there's no point dilly-dallying up and down. Just follow. You know, they say, follow who no road. You see it now. So the thoughts of God are higher than your thoughts. They are higher. The ways of God are higher than your ways. But it doesn't stop there. That's not where God gets glorified. That's not where God gets glorified. God gets glorified when your thoughts are now aligned with his thoughts. That's where you are now thinking God's thoughts. That's where he's now glorified. Because it's only a matter of time. Your fruits will abound. It will just show. Your face will show. It will show on your face. It will show on the outside. So what God is after is that your thoughts, your ways are not correct. So we need to change this thing. So when the teaching is going on, it's going to the thoughts. When the fasting is going on, you are fasting, it's going to the thoughts. When you are praying, you're not praying to change, move the hand of God. God has done all the work. It's you that must change. You see it now. So the responsibility is not God's. It's you. You must change. You must be honest where you are. That where I am right now is not where I should be. And I need help. I need to move. So, and then the help is not that somebody will give you money. No. That's where that the Holy Ghost now comes in now. Now the Holy Spirit, the ministry, let me show you now. John chapter 16. Just keep your place in. John chapter 16. Okay. From verse 13, if you're there, say amen. John 16, verse 13. So he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So that word truth also is reality. Will guide you into all reality. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Look at it now. He says, show. He will show you things to come. Okay? Now, verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine,
and shall show it unto you. You see it again. He's saying show. He's not giving you anything. He's not giving you anything. No. He's not giving you the job. He's showing you. You see it now. So verse 15 says, all things that the Father had are mine. Therefore I said that he shall take of mine and shall show it. So he's not giving you anything. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal. He wants to reveal the thoughts. He wants to reveal the mind. So I said, let's go back to Isaiah. That the glory of God is that now his word is now established as a law in your heart. It's now your software running your life. That's where God is glorified. Do you understand this now? Do you get the point now? So he wants you so that your own thoughts will be his thoughts. You'll be thinking like God. You say, is it possible to think like God? It's possible. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, but you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind. He says, who has known the mind of the Lord? He said, but you have the mind of Christ. In Philippians, he says, let this mind be in you. So it is possible for the mind of God to now become your mind. You see the process of God now. It starts from the test, the desire, the fact that you must come as you are and you must be listening. And that when you now come, you see it now, you are now coming to church, you are now fasting, you are praying and all of that. What God is after. That's why you don't be distracted in services. You understand? The Holy Spirit is working. It's not, you can't just be saying you want to come for the word. It's not what God can speak to you right from opening prayer. Do you understand what's going on here? So you can't say offering. God is speaking to you in offering. You can't say I can choose and pick. You don't know the one that the Lord will minister something. Or for example, outreach. You came late and then he's broken at that point. Did I know anything like? You understand what I'm saying? Just normal talk now. You know, as our Father has taught us now, so we now come here. And then he said breaks that thing. I didn't know anything. But the Holy Ghost is working. He uses everything, your processes. You now get to a point of decision, a point of these things must change. My ways must change. Okay? So now look at it now. Verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, that he may bring forth fruit and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So do you already see prosperity now? You see prosperity now. So the thoughts of God are coming like rain. It's coming like rain. You understand? To change. So you want to be aligned. So that's it. So Bible says, it says, as we behold us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. That's what God, that's the glory of God. That now I have another Jesus. There's another Jesus manifest here. There's another Son of God now walking on the earth. Because the word is now established in his heart. You understand? Bible says in the book of John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you, he didn't say what I will, oh, what you will is what you will, because your will is now in line with his will and it will be done. So people want answers to their prayers, they want to see results, but they are not ready to change. The abiding is where the change is happening. That's where the work, that's what the Holy Ghost wants to do. He wants to change your life. But many times we are refusing, that's who I am, that's how I am, that's how it is. And then you will never cross. You can't cross the next level. You can't cross that level. You will just stop there. No progress. It will be arrested. Your growth is arrested at that point. So God's word, and when God's word is coming in your life, the intent is for your glory. Is for your prosperity. That's what God is after. That's what it must not go back to him void. It must accomplish that which I please. You understand?
That word must come to pass. But it must pass to your mind. It must get to your mind and change. Because that's where, that's it's in your mind that all the presence of God. You know, that's where all the fights are coming. That's where the war is in your mind. The devil is speaking to you. Remember when Pastor was teaching us about the evil day? It's in the mind. The devil just comes and sits down in your mind and starts talking to you. That's the evil day. It's in your mind. So what do you do at that time? Will the word of God have the victory at that point, or will you submit it to the devil? It's in your mind. Will the word prevail at that point? So if you're not allowing God's word to change your life, to change your mind, the way you think, then you will not go. You will not cross beyond it. You will just come to church, going back, and at the end of the day, you say, this thing is not working. Then you carry Yahoo and start doing it. This Yahoo is faster. You understand? So if you're going to do this Christianity right, then you follow the process. You follow the process. Hallelujah. Now, the word of God comes. Now, you know, when the word of God comes to you, okay? So that's where now. So, Bible says faith comes by hearing and hear by the word of God. So once the word of God comes to you, it's building up faith in your heart. That's why you're excited, right? I remember God talked some time ago about joy, the imperative of joy in the walk of faith. Okay? Now, you see what's going on there in verse 12. He says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Hallelujah. Now, if you remember the teaching, when God's word comes, right, it's coming to your heart and all that, the faith rises and all that, you're excited, okay? He says, I rejoice, Psalm 119, verse 162. I rejoice at your word as one that has found great spoil. Okay? And the reason you are excited at the word is because it's making sense to you. Because if God, you understand what I'm saying now? Because it's just like you have won lottery, because you see it now. You now see it now that, this is what God is doing for me. This is how he promises for me. So we are excited. You are excited, so you are filled with joy. He said, in the book of Jeremiah, he says, I did eat thy words, and it became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You understand? And my God thought that is that joy that fetches the miracles. He says, with joy, you shall draw out of the words of salvation. But listen, it's not the joy that you get at that point in service. No, that's not the joy. Is the maintained joy. Because what happens is that when you go out on the outside, you will see contrasting things. You understand? But that's why the Bible says, verse 12, that you will now go out with joy. So you are in the house of God. You are joyful. But are you going out with joy? Will you continue in joy? Is the continuation of joy. You understand this now? You will go out with joy. You will go out. You will continue in the joy. So, he says, joy will come from the word spontaneously, but it must be sustained by your will. Listen, the Bible says, Isaiah Psalm 57 verse 7, it says, my heart is fixed, O Lord. My heart is fixed. I will sing and make merry. It's not a discussion. There's a joy that comes because we are here. We are all excited at the word. You understand? We are believers. That's why we are excited at the word. But the result is not coming yet. You understand? But it is the joy that comes as decision. It's a will. So Psalm 118, verse, I think it's verse 24. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. So it doesn't matter whether there are contrasting things around. Okay? I want to see results in my life. This thing must change. You see it now. But I'm hungry for God. I'm listening to God. I'm getting the word. I'm excited. My heart is full of faith. I'm rejoicing. But now, a contrasting thing happens and I'm sad. Or let's not say you're not even sad, because that's what a man of God said. It's not where you're sad, okay, you're happy, but you're not in a joyful state. You are still like, you know, in the name of Jesus, and I refuse life vanities, you know, and all of that, and all, but you're not rejoicing. He says, no. The truest expression of faith is joy. So if you are joyful, joyful as a will, the man of God will say, I hear good news. It's normal. I'm expecting the good news. I'm already expecting testimony. But something happened. The devil is like, he's touching me now. I'm walking on sunshine. Oh! And then you know that the devil is pressing button now. You see it now. But we have activated joy. Do you understand this now? Because you must be going out with joy. You must go out with joy. Alabaka Shanda. It must not end in the service. I must continue in joy. You see it now. So it's joy. He says, so joy. So I wrote it. Joy would come from the word spontaneously, but it must be sustained by your will. It's not a feeling, it's a decision. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. This is the deal that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in. So I will rejoice in spite of what I'm saying on the outside. So once you have carried God's word in your heart, you begin to rejoice. You begin to sing God, the praise of God. You say, Father, I thank you, I glorify you, and you are eating. What did the Bible say in Nehemiah? When, you know, the Lord showed them, look at it now, Nehemiah chapter 8. Feel that, you know, that where what, you know, God just wants is that you just be, you know, when you have been told about your error and all that, so just be sorrowful. After all, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, it says godly sorrow work in repentance, but it won't bring the miracle. It must switch to joy. That's what the man of God said. It must switch the thermostat. You see it now. You must switch to joy. So, that's what happened. This was the same thing that happened. So, Nehemiah was telling them, you know, reading the law to them, and they were all sad. But verse 10, look at it. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. Can I say amen? So that he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. These are expressions of faith. You understand what I'm saying now? You know, sometimes you hear bad news, you will not be able to eat. But eating now becomes the action of faith. Because your body doesn't feel like eating. You feel depressed. So you want to just stay somewhere and you don't want to talk to anybody. But I will call my friends. I will talk to my wife. I will eat. Not the one I'm not eating. I will eat. Amen? So I will eat, and eating now becomes an expression of faith because it's joy. It's an expression of joy. So I will eat. Do you get the point now? Drink the sweets. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Say, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorry. He says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So connect this one now to Isaiah 12 verse 3. He says, therefore with joy shall ye draw out of the wells of salvation. And I didn't start from verse 1, sir, because you have taught us in that service that you start from, your trust in the Lord and all of that. It says verse 3 that you would with joy draw out of the world. So you are trusting in the Lord. And there are contrasting things around. But it is the joy that will bring forth the miracle. So you must go out with joy. You must hold your joy close. Nothing steals your joy. Excited. Glad. You see it now. So we're rounding up now. So verse 12. So this is it. So, you know, and you wonder, because, you know, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of joy. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 14, I think verse 17 or so, it says that the kingdom of God is not in meat or in drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost will get you excited. He will get you joyous. You are walking with Him, you will be full of joy. and it's more like almost like nothing ever happens to you. But they don't understand. In one of our dear pastors and all that, sometimes you go, I saw our status and all that. I said, wow, I know what you are doing here. I know what you are doing here. You are activating the joy key. You understand? Because, you know, it looks like, man, this thing, I don't know what I wrote in this exam. But you know that the Lord has said. So you are holding on to the word and you are rejoicing. The Holy Ghost is, that's where the Holy Ghost can move. I'm sure that when the Lord was creating the earth, it was not quiet. I don't think it was quiet. I'm sure there would have been angels singing and all of that. Things were happening. There was an atmosphere of joy. You understand? Because that's where the Holy Ghost works. He's the spirit of joy. So now, verse 12. So for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Now look at what's happening. The mountains. The mountains that you are looking at and saying, hey, hey. They will not start joining you to sing. You don't understand. They will join you to sing. And they will just shift away. And clear road for you. Hallelujah. The mountain and the hill shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees shall clap their hands. And as they are clapping, what's going on? The fruits are dropping. The fruits are dropping. You see it now, there's a release. There's a release of it. The fruitfulness is now taking. You're not seeing the manifestation. We're talking about seeing the manifestation. Go and listen to that message again. Imperative of joy in the work of faith. We're talking about seeing the manifestation of your blessing. Of this. You're fighting and all of that, but you're not seeing it yet. This is the end of it. Joy. And guess what? The Bible says, It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. So it's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Joy. It says, verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar, in other words, we're not going to see thorns there. We're going to see fruits. We'll look at the harvest. We'll see it's fruitful. Shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name. For an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let me tell you something. The blessing of God upon your life. It's not, God is not, I told you, it's a legacy. It's a legacy something. It's not now. That forever and ever. Do you understand what Red Sea experience? We are still singing Red Sea up to now. That's what I'm talking about. That we are still singing the praise of God. What God did for them. You know, that's what's going to be your portion too. So it's not just God. I want a car. I want to travel out of the country. That's not the idea. It's about what God wants to do in the scheme of things, and that you are a part. So it's about you are now aligning into that bigger picture of God. There's a purpose of God. You're not just a Christian. You are called according to His purpose. That's why all things work together for your good. It must work because you have said God is you. I trust. You have lifted your hands to the Almighty God, and God said, "My son, come. I want to make you a praise in the earth." A joy of nations. You see it now. How to become the joy of nations. Hallelujah. That's it. So, and then nobody sees what you are doing. Your small steps, your small believing, your small following, and then a praise in the earth. You're a joy of nations. You see it now. And then God says an everlasting sign shall not be cut off. So I don't want a blessing that you know, then after 3 years I've forgotten. No. That is an everlasting something. So if you are seeking for that everlasting sign from God, then this is the process. This is the process. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, I'm so blessed today. So blessed today. Can we just please bow our heads and say, Father, we give you praise for your word. Our hearts open to your word. We're so blessed today. Enlightened by your word. Thank you, Jesus. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going out with joy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we follow the process. We know your ways now. We come with our tests. It's not about money. It's not what we don't have. It's not about our beauty. It's not about our fashion style. It's about our hearts. And we are tested for you, Lord. And we come to listen, to hear your word. And we are changing our ways. We are changing our thoughts. Forsake your evil ways. We are forsaking. We are changing. We are changing, we are changing as you speak into us, as you direct us. We are changing because we are hearing your word. Our hearts are open, we are changing. And your word is coming and lifting us up into your ways, into your thoughts. And yeah, we are thinking your thoughts, we are following your patterns, following your ways. Receiving joy as it comes from your word comes. And we are going on with that joy. And then everything is changing. Everything is changing. And we are moving to another level. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this pattern. Follow this process. I come thirsty. I come hearing. Talaboseri this. Thank you, Lord. I come thirsty now. After thirst, I'm hearing. You can come thirsty, but you refuse to hear. If you are thirsty, you are thirsty. Number one, number two, you've come. They hear. There's no point coming and not hearing. Now I'm hearing. I'm receiving instruction. I'm receiving correction. I'm receiving your word. I'm changing. There's no point hearing and not changing. So I'm changing my ways. I'm changing my ways. Come on. Somebody change his ways here. Changing his thoughts here. I'm changing my thoughts. I'm changing my ways. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Receiving your word. Receiving your word. Receiving your word. And receiving joy as your word comes. And then as your word is coming, the joy is coming. My life is changing. And I'm going out with that joy. And seen miracles in my life. Boy, what a process. Simple steps. 4 steps, 5 steps. Thank you, Lord. Wherever you are in those steps, wherever you are, you know, you could come with tests, but you refuse to listen. You could come with tests, you could listen, but you refuse to change. Come on. You could come with tests. And you listen, you refuse to change. You could come and change, but you refuse to change in joy. You refuse to change with joy. Come on. Wherever you are right now, you can begin to pray, Lord God, let me pass this test and go to the next level. So I can break forth into fruitfulness in my life. God wants to do an everlasting something. He wants to do something permanent through your life. I'm telling you. There are a lot of things the Lord says to me, a lot of things the Lord does with me in my life. But I told you this one this evening because exactly I see it right now. And that's why I said it. He said, you're not doing impact, you're doing legacy. Bring the people for me. You're bringing the people for me. Do the work for me. This work will cross you. This work will leave a mark. What you are doing will leave a mark. Don't be bothered about that. Lord, I want my life. Whether it's POS you are doing, like Pastor said, you leave a legacy. Say, Pastor, I cannot make an impact, but you can make a legacy. I said you can make a legacy. You might not be able to make an impact, but you'll be able to make a legacy. Everybody can make a legacy. Everybody can make a legacy. No matter where you are, you can make a legacy. A legacy of righteousness. A legacy of truth. A legacy of light. Everybody can make a legacy. Wherever you are, you can make a legacy. If you follow these processes, it'll be an everlasting something. It'll be an everlasting truth demonstrated through your life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Your name be praised forevermore.